How excited are you for the draft? This is your time of the year.
Yeah, very excited. You know, a lot of work goes into this, so this is the culmination of things. And I kind of think by this point, for the most part, everyone's done their, you know, hopefully done their homework and their scouting. And so at this point, it's just putting together whatever projects you have and, you know, recaps after the draft. And yeah, I guess getting ready for free agency and summer league. But as someone that covers and follows the NBA and is, you know, lives here along Tobacco Road, this is this is an important week ahead here.
Oh, there's no question about it. So I dealt with the two Duke players. Real quick about them, which one is more likely to be a lottery pick?
I mean, at this point, it seems like, I don't know if you saw the mock draft that Jonathan Givony of ESPN put out yesterday, but he had Dariq Whitehead at 30, which is like a little hard to believe unless Dariq's medicals are like, you know, really problematic. But
right.
I just can't imagine him slipping that far. I still think Dariq is a lottery talent. My hope is the answer to this is still Dariq, but based off of that, like, That sort of maybe makes me think that there's some intel that's being floated out that has Dariq slipping to the back half of the first round, which is would be a real bummer if that happens. And I think a miss by a lot of teams, you know, sort of like medicals permitted. All that is a long way of saying. I mean, I guess now I would say Lively, because he's sort of like a fringy, like mid first round fringe back end of the lottery player, and like, I just think you already know what you're getting, which is like a defensive savant at center and a guy that's got some skills and some maybe even a little bit more upside along with the rim running on offense.
Look, I love both players. Now let's talk about NC State's Terquavion Smith. There was talk that he could have been a late first round pick a year ago, chose to come back to State. Economically, does that pay off for him?
I mean, I think we'll see draft night. I mean, he definitely, part of this is we don't know how much, you know, Terquavion made playing at State last year via NIL, probably a good chunk of money, you know. Probably, unfortunately, though, probably would have been less than, you know, whatever his rookie salary would have been, assuming he's like the 25th pick in the draft last year. That's probably, a couple of million dollars or, you know, just under two. I mean, we can look it up. Like all of those rookie scale contracts are slotted, but probably not the same type of delta between like playing for free versus, you know, what he made via NIL. Unfortunately, you know, I don't think Terquavion played himself like into the lottery this season, which is like maybe where he could have made up some of that number a little bit. But look, he wanted to come back and he loved playing at NC State. He wanted to come back and get this team to the tournament and have fun. And, like, no matter how you slice it, that NC State team was the most fun, even for a first-round exit in the tournament. I mean, when's the last NC State team that was that much fun? So I think he built a legacy here, which, you probably can't put, like, a direct price on in terms of return on investment or whatever. But I think Terquavion still has a chance to slide into the back end of the first round. I know he didn't have a great combine. I know he's still skinny. There are the defensive concerns.
Right.
But I thought he showed real growth this season as a playmaker and as a passer and a guy that could, like, take care of the basketball, drew more fouls this season. You know what he can do as a shooter. He had a cold snap to end the year. But this guy's a big-time shooter, even if he is a little streaky. And I thought with the playmaking growth, this guy's still an interesting bet in terms of the creation upside for the next level.
Brian Geisinger, PacPride.com. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Any other players from the Triangle area, whether they play in the area or even at Wake Forest or from outside the area that are on NBA draft radars?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you were maybe trying to get at, I think there are a handful of guys that were like good college players that have at least gotten invited to pre-draft workouts and will, maybe they'll get a chance to play in summer league and maybe even pick up an Exhibit 10 contract and go into training camp. I mean, we're talking about Jarkel Joyner from NC State. We're talking about Davian Williamson from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Like guys like that. That maybe have a crack at it. I mean, unfortunately, like this guy was one of my favorite players in the ACC this past season, Bobby Clinton, and a guy that I was really bullish on going forward. But you know, was a little bit older for a freshman and decided to put his name in the draft. And then, yeah, this ended up turning into sort of like one of the more bizarre and also kind of like disheartening, at least for the time being, experiences of the draft, because, you know, it seemed like for a period of time, maybe he got like a promise of some kind in the draft. So he keeps his name in. He skips out of certain stuff at the combine. And there were even Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer had him mocked at 15, like in his mock draft, like 2 weeks ago, which was ludicrous. I mean, if anything, Clintman was like, you know, like early to mid second round pick and a guy that I like, and I think will play in the NBA at some point, but ultimately like he stays in the draft pool past the NCAA deadline. Then when he withdraws from the draft, now he can't go back to Wake Forest. He can't play college basketball. So he'll either have to go abroad or play in the G League and then enter the 2024 draft. These aren't like terrible options. Like he'll, you know, make money and play basketball and hopefully bolster his stock some. But yeah, his agent or whomever else was around him, this was not, I don't blame Bobby Clinton or Wake or anything like that. This is the people around the handling the situation that I think really fumbled it and unfortunately put him in a spot that, you know, limited his options for where to play basketball next year.
Yeah, my opinion is that every player has the right to make that, I guess, mistake, right? I don't
for sure.
I am a proponent of if you are 18 years old, then if you want to go into the NBA draft, you should be allowed to go into the NBA draft. I feel the same way about the National Football League. If you want to do that, you should be allowed to do that. Now, I understand collective bargaining agreements, so no, don't tweet at me, but don't you understand? I'm like, no, I understand it. My feeling is just that if you are of legal age, if you are an adult, you should be allowed to do that. That's the way I have always approached it. But I also understand why either leagues have age limit rules to protect, really to protect teams from making too many mistakes, because it is just an absolute guess whether or not somebody who is 18 is going to develop physically. You're hoping that you get it right, develop physically to be able to withstand an NBA season or an NFL season. Let me ask you, speaking of develop physically, do you have any reservations at all about, and we're talking with Brian Geisinger, who covers basketball at all levels, do you have any reservations at all about Victor Wembanyama and his ability to stay healthy? It is tough for a guy who is 7'4" or whatever he is to not develop issues physically. It's a pounding. It's a grind.
Yeah, I mean, let me take this. Let me start by saying, I think with someone that size, of course, you have to have those concerns just because there is a track record and there's like, you know, real like biological reasons to sort of like understand why guys that size, can have injury concerns. And obviously, like, there's plenty of like, you know, freak stuff that can happen when you're playing a lot of basketball, but you know, you may have read some of the stuff that's come out about Victor. I want to say maybe Jeremy Wu from who's been contributing to ESPN. Maybe, you know, he's written about this. There's probably been a couple of things, but just sort of like how seriously Wembanyama has taken, really all parts of like, you know, the pre-draft process. But one of the big things as he's been building up, ramping up for NBA play has been his conditioning, his stretch routine, his post-game and pre-game routines, and what he does, his diet. Like, he and his team around him have, I mean, they've built, like, kind of a fortress, and it's, I think, like, sort of tightened. I mean, there's not a ton of, like, weak spots in how they've prepared him for this. So, you know, I don't think you have to worry about Victor. You know, he's going to be in shape. He's going to do all the stuff that he can to hopefully have a long and incredible career in the NBA. And so ultimately I'm not too worried about it. I mean, like with everyone, you've got to have some injury concern, and maybe it's slightly elevated for someone that's 7'4" with an 8-foot wingspan. And like, there really isn't like an analog for
there's no comp,
like a person of this size and athletic skill. So we'll find out, but he is certainly going to do all the things necessary to, like, better his odds for having a long, sustainable career.
Brian Geisinger at BGeis_Bird. I appreciate your time, my friend. I will talk to you soon.
You guys be good.